other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by Dr. Adventure's Walk-In Clinic. My name is Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
Hey.
And Brick.
Does Dr. Adventure also have a video store?
Yeah, he owns the Video Zone, which now has 23% less pornography.
Do they share a building?
No, they're in the same town.
Okay.
He's got a lot of properties. Dr. Adventure is out there doing stuff.
What's the degree in? Adventure?
Yeah.
Dr. Adventure has an adventure PhD.
Is he related to Dr. Pizza?
That was my thought, is that he's Dr. Pizza's cousin.
All right. Cousin.
Family of scholars.
I miss Dr. Pizza. I did love that pizza. And it's been, I want to say, like 6 years since we had it, and I still think about it.
Yeah. Well, you're in a good mood. That might have been the same night you crawled down the stairs.
I don't think so. That was the night that we...
They all kind of blur together for me. So.
I think it was just you and Nico and I, maybe. This episode is about what we're calling book flashing, which is when you take books out in public to show out.
We're really calling it
that? We are calling it that.
Come on.
Or book...
Book exhibitionism?
Book exhibitionism? Was that what we call it? Was that the portmanteau?
Book exhibitionism? The connotation of both of those is kind of dark, though.
It's a little like... Wah, 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 wah. It's not that
seedy. I feel
like
it's the opposite of that.
Oh, tell us more.
Well, we haven't got into it yet, but I feel like it's almost more like pretension than exhibitionism.
Well, you're trying to show off something, trying to get some action or some play based on what you're showing off, right?
I don't know that that's true for me. So,
So I guess the idea here is
it's the opposite. It's almost defensive.
Defensive.
Yeah.
How so?
Well, let's do the lead in. I'll get to it.
Okay. So you know that feeling when you're going out for a constitutional. And you pack a bottle of water in your bag, maybe a snack, and you also put a book so you can have something to read when you get to the park or wherever you're going to sit down and have your little read. And you're thinking, what should I bring? Should I bring the book I'm reading right now, which is I'm halfway through and I have some more thoughts on it, but it's like J-Pat, or should I bring this really dense volume of philosophy that I've only cracked like the first chapter of, but it looks a lot better in public if I'm reading that versus reading Patterson or like some kind of pornography or whatever. Those kind of calculations, like how do you present your literature in public? Is there any stress about that? Any sort of like shame? Do you, so like Brick was saying, like there's it's a defensive gesture in some ways to hide what you're actually reading. You know, Dave, what do you do with this?
It always kind of embarrasses me, but I do this often because I feel like when I see people reading in public, I'm judging them based on what they're reading, which to begin with is shitty. So like, you know, if I see someone on a train reading Janet Ivanovich book, I'll be like, oh, you know, but like 99% of people on the subway are going to be like looking at their phones and playing like Angry Birds or whatever the fuck. Like at least this person is reading.
Right.
So like why, it's like a superiority kind of thing that I really don't have any business displaying or feeling, but for some reason I do anyway. And so I kind of take that reverse into account when I'm in that situation you're talking about, when I'm taking a book to read myself on the subway.
So you're imagining, so like, what if you were on the subway watching yourself read, what would you think?
I would be thinking, oh, this guy is reading like a really, you know, excellent literary fiction novel. He must be worth something. But
so
what
handsome.
They don't know is that at home, I'm halfway through my Janet Ivanovich novel. And, you know, that's what I really want to be taking on the train. But,
right. You
know, I'm too self-conscious for that.
Right. That self-conscious assumes that there is someone out there like you who's doing the same thing. Right.
Right.
When, and there may be, but still, why should I care?
Right, like, what is that, what's the matter with that? Like, right. Who, and vice versa, the person reading Janet Ivanovich that you're looking at, like, considering to you, like, why do you care? Like, I'm just reading my book, like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
But I think the truth, or the middle ground, is probably the most accurate, which is, like, literally no one's paying attention, right?
Right.
Now, Brick, you said it was defensive. Can you explain?
Yeah, I mean, I do the same thing as Dave does, but it may be for the same reason. I don't know, it's just... When you said exhibitionism, it's more like, oh, look at me, I got the philosophy book, right? Whereas my output is more, I want to avoid the, oh, look at him, he's reading, you know, children's books.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's gotcha. The wanting to avoid the negative assumption, even
though
you're right, no one gives a fuck.
Yeah.
But wanting to avoid the negative as opposed to seek out, I'm not trying to catch attention.
Right. Trying to sort of blend in.
Yeah.
So
I won't bring a book that I'm not interested in, but I'll leave the simpler or less heady stuff behind if I'm going in public, and I'll bring around philosophy books or literary books or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't just carry them for show. If I'm not going to read a book, I'm not bringing a book with me, but
right.
I definitely tend to skew towards the more snooty choices if I know I'm going to be reading at the park or sitting on a train for a while or sitting on an airplane.
Yeah. Right.
I also carry a Game Boy with me, so I mean, it kind of balances itself out. But
hide it in the book, so you're playing Tetris while reading a fucking...
That's happened, yeah.
Right. This happens to me mostly with comics, I think. Even though it's the cultural tide has really changed, and being an open fan of comics in the 21st century is not really a problem anymore, at least not as much as it used to be. But I still feel a bit of a twinge of a bristle or whatever when I pull a comic out to read at a bar, for instance, or on a plane or somewhere. I never do it on the train.
Except for that time you broke out Blubber on the train.
That wasn't a pizza place. That was on the train. Like, if I do that in public, there's still a bit of like, oh man, someone's going to see me reading Batman and think that I'm an idiot. And it's weird because I don't feel self-conscious about my comics reading. I don't really care about anyone's thoughts about that. And most people nowadays would be like, oh, superheroes are cool. Like, that's like the sort of, that thing has changed now. But it does still feel like a bit of judgment, or like there's this looming presence of, well, this person could be reading a newspaper or like the Atlantic or whatever, and instead they're reading the Justice League issue, right? Yeah. Although I would say when I've done it in bars, I mostly get positive responses, usually from bartenders. People come over and be like, oh, wow, Green Arrow, that's cool. And like, want to ask me questions about it.
Yeah, like, I know him well. We used to write.
Green Lantern.
Hey, Green Lantern.
There was one time recently at a bar, I brought out an issue of Batman Odyssey. I was flipping through that, which is a really great book. And the bartender was like, oh man, Batman. I haven't read Batman comic for years. And I was like, yeah, Batman's great. And I love Batman. And he was like, he started talking about something that wasn't even, it was some other comic. Oh, his friend makes comics. He was like, my friend does comics. I was like, oh, that's cool. What does he draw? He's like, oh, you know, like different kind of like porches, whatever. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. He's like, yeah.
Porches?
Portraits.
Oh.
And then kind of walked away and later came back. He was like, check this out, and brought his phone out and like showed me his friend's Instagram gallery, whatever, his like his friend's like paintings. There were like things you'd see at a comic convention at like an airbrushing booth. Nothing great. And definitely not a comics artist. He was like, does paintings of comic characters. And I was like, oh yeah, cool. And like kind of clipped through them. I was like, good. Like, I just didn't want to be doing that. And I felt bad. I was like, yeah, I kind of just wanted to read. And like, I wasn't looking to, this is very cool, but I'm not going to be like, wow, your friend should buy me a painting or like paint me something. It's just like, oh, this is, that's cool. Your friend does that. But it's funny how comics will bring out a different kind of attention versus like, if I was reading Goodbye Columbus or Dybbuk or anything like that we've talked about at that bar, I wouldn't have, probably wouldn't have had that effect. Someone probably would have been like, oh, cool, Philip Roth. I like that guy. Or right. I don't.
Let me show you all these masturbation narratives that my friend wrote.
But it only is comics. I don't maybe if it had been something like 50 Shades of Grey, for instance, I would have felt skittish taking that out on the train, for instance.
So when you read that, you read it only at home?
Only at home. Yeah.
Without pants on.
Yeah, exactly. The auto blow on.
Set to high.
One or two.
Set to high. It was the one. Yeah, and there were problems for sure, let me tell you.
One hand for the book, one hand for the manual crank.
Do not ask about the audible one.
The coil dick now.
Yeah. I guess that would be the semi-audible.
Kind of tied to this, maybe. This is maybe a bit of a tangent from that topic. Do people ever stop you and talk about or ask you about what you're reading? Do they ever like investigate or query you?
Yeah, almost never.
Yeah.
I mean, neither. I can't even think of the last time that's happened.
It's happened a few times, but more people are just like, what is that?
Right.
And then you say it and they're like, all right, cool.
Right.
And then move on.
People look for sure, no one ever asks. But I feel like I also kind of look standoffish, I guess, in public.
Right.
Maybe especially if I'm reading. So.
Yeah.
Right. You're wearing a hat that says fuck off. So.
Basically, yeah. I'm wearing a face that says fuck off.
Wow. I think I used to do that a lot more.
Do what? Ask people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really? Try and use that as a way to usually people reading comics and almost mostly women reading comics trying to be like, oh, wow, this girl is reading comics. Maybe I can talk to her. I remember one time there was a woman reading Watchmen on the train. And she was sitting behind me, and I saw that she was reading Watchmen. I was like, oh, great, she's reading Watchmen. We can talk about this. So I turned around and made a chair, and so I was like, hey, you know, she's reading Watchmen. She was like, yeah. And I was like, this is your first time reading? She was like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, cool. Are you liking it? She was like, yeah, I love it. I was like, oh, cool.
And I was like, you made her a cake.
I had nothing to say.
What kind of cake do you like?
Well, it shows how little growth I've had in that time. So I got through the first two stages of the conversation, which is, what are you doing? And I have a comment on that too.
Yeah.
And there was nothing else left. I had nothing to go back to be like, so do you
like
Dr. really
Manhattan's
like it?
Dong, huh?
Yeah. So you just kind of turned back around and that was it.
She said something. She was like, yeah, my boyfriend recommended it to me. So I take it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I was like, well, enjoy it. And I turned around and was just like, yep. And then 1,000 ants poured out of my mouth.
Yeah. Did you immediately assume that she does not have a boyfriend and was trying to shut you down?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And even if she did a boyfriend, same thing. Like she was definitely shutting me down politely and very effectively. Like I wish her no ill will in that regard. She did a great job. And I was very clearly had nothing to say. Yeah. So I was just like, right, this does not work. Like, it's just not a great avenue of discussion. Or maybe I'm just bad at it. It's either way to approach it or both. I guess there was a mention of vacation packing. So, like, when you pack books to travel with, I always overpack them.
All right. So,
I underpack and underdeliver. So,
when you say you overpack books on vacation, do you mean you just bring too many, or you bring too many that you know you're not going to read?
I mean, I realistically should know better, but I'm always like, when I go home for Christmas, for instance, I go for like a week and a half, 2 weeks sometimes. I'm always like, I'll take 7 books. It's like, I will maybe read half of one. I really wildly overestimate my reading on vacation, especially when I'm home with my family.
I do that too. Is it partly for show too, do you think? Like, I want these people to see me with all these books?
Oh, no. It's definitely more about trying to satisfy my own sense of, I want to do this. I want to have some reading time. And then I know I'm just going to end up hanging out with my family and not really doing a lot of sort of solo reading time. It's all self-denial.
I tend to bring like 5 books I want to read and know I'm only going to read maybe 2 of them.
Yeah, so you have some variety.
Yeah, yeah. I like having that choice there.
Yeah.
But I will also, I'll bring 1 or 2 that are just staying in the bag until I'm reading on my own, and then the rest will be maybe a little more showy.
Yeah.
I guess it depends. If I'm going home to my family, I don't care quite so much, but if I'm going on vacation or something.
Yeah. If I was going to go, if we were going to have a Yak Babies retreat, I would very carefully pack, so I would know what to present to the Yak Babies.
Yeah.
So I would look cool.
This is what I used to do, the same thing that you guys are talking about. Now, because I always come back having not read, definitely not all of the books I brought.
Yeah.
Much less even a small percentage of them. So now I will take 1 book.
Yeah.
And then, because I can't remember the last time I was in a place where I didn't have books available to me if I finished the one that I brought.
Right.
So if I'm going away for a long time, I'll bring 1 long book.
Right.
Like, I went to Spain for 2 weeks and I brought that John Lennon biography that I talked about
in
previous episodes. It was like a 1,000-page book.
Right.
And it carried me through most of that trip.
Nice.
But when I finished it, there were books available to me.
Yeah, that's, and then if you're going somewhere that has, if you're going on vacation and part of your like traveling itinerary is like looking for bookstores, which is often what I want to do.
Yeah, right.
Then you're going to buy a book probably on vacation anyway.
Yeah.
So you're going to come home with something. So I will overpack and also overproduce. So I'll come home with 3 extra books on top of the ones I didn't read when I packed in the first place.
Yeah. I went to Provincetown. I took 1 book. This was a year or two ago, probably 2 years ago. I took 1 book. I finished it. I went to the library. They were having a big library sale. So I bought a few books there, including Last Night at the Lobster.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's right.
Have you ever bought a book at an airport? Or would you?
I have.
Why?
I did last year, in fact. There was paperback copy of a novel called Ohio that I had only seen in hardcover and was really curious about. So I bought it at the airport. And I read it, too, wherever I went. I don't remember what that trip was. But I read it and it was excellent. Glued to it the whole time I was away. But typically, you know, you're not going to find much of this kind of stuff that we like at an airport.
Well, actually, so that's changing, I think. The Terminal C at Logan has an excellent bookstore now. I can't remember the name of it.
Really?
But it's really good. Like, it has really cool stuff. I was shocked when I saw it because it looks nice. I was like, oh, well, this looks better than like the typical Hudson News, whatever. And I got in the stacks or like the shelves and I was like, wow, there's some legit stuff here.
Yeah. Well, you know, even that little corner bookstore, that little pocket at a substation has some great
selection. It's just that it's shrunken by like 160% the past 2 years.
Yeah.
I've never bought a book at an airport.
Me neither.
And I've probably never traveled without a book.
Plus, they're like twice as expensive. You're paying like markup on hardcover price for like, they're like, I feel like they're like 90% biographies is what they sell at airport.
Or like self-help books.
Yeah.
Or didn't Marcus buy one of those Sarah Palin books at the library?
I think that's where he got the Sarah Palin book that he tore up. My dad does this thing, or he used to. I haven't flown anywhere with my dad in 15 years. But he would always buy a book at like the Hudson News and read as much of it as he could on the plane and then just leave it on the plane.
Wow.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So if he didn't finish it.
It would make me so mad. Sometimes I would just pick it up and take it. And he's like, well, I don't want that anymore. I was like, well, I don't want it either. It's a biography of like John Edwards or whatever. But that's a weird thing and wasteful. So I'm taking this and I'm putting it in this hotel or whatever, because at least it's not just going to get thrown out by the flight attendant.
Why do you think he does this?
Because he's an insane person.
I feel like a magazine is such a better option for that. It's cheaper.
Yeah.
And there's more variety. That's very wild.
Yeah. A lot of things my father does are really wild. That's one of them.
Gene, please call in.
Yeah.
Let us know.
He won't be calling in. He has never checked his voicemail on his new phone because he doesn't know how to do it. I offered to show him. He's like, it's fine. I just don't have voicemail. I said, okay. Welcome to 2020, pal.
kind of respect that, actually.
He also signs his name on every text he sends.
That's a classic parent move.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, talk to us about your book exhibitionism. Book exhibitionism. When do you do it? What does it look like to you? How do you feel about it? If some creep texts you about Watchmen on the train, are you grossed out and want him to die, or less so?
Or do you wish Has that happened to you? And if so, was it Aaron?
Yeah. Was it about 7 years ago?
If you actually had a boyfriend or not.
How sad did the person look? We're on Twitter at YakBabies right there. And then you can email us at Gmail. YakBabiesPodcast @gmail.com is what it's called. Write us an email and let us know about these things. And then, of course, you can rate and review us somewhere on the internet. Go to either the podcast app or somewhere else and give us a 5-star rating because of how 5-star-ish we are. And then, of course, go to patreon.com/YakBabies for $1 a month. You can access plethora of madness going on in Patreon. We're using Patreon to the best of our abilities. I think probably the best of anyone using Patreon, frankly, because we have this weird stuff going on there, and it's so cheap. So Broto Bros and drafts and power hours and games, Emmy games, and other kind of inappropriate material all on there for $1 a month. Until that time, Yak Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies wish to thank all the personal pals who listen each week, and most especially to send extra thanks to all who have supported on Patreon past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, and William Howard Taft.